I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll.
I searched throughout the world and found no answer. For I ignored the one who is the truth. I thought that wealth and status brought fulfillment, but I found this world's promises untrue. I'm looking up for the things that really matter. I will not look to the things that pass away. My hope is fixed upon eternal treasures, so I'll just keep on looking up each day. So I'll just keep on looking up each day.
The world is still demanding my attention, but I don't see its glitter anymore. A higher place is giving my life purpose. Now I find myself looking to the Lord. I'm looking up for the things that really matter. I will not look to the things that pass away. My hope is fixed upon eternal treasures, so I'll just keep on looking up each day.
If I look out upon the world, I lose my vision. If I look in on my own strength, I lose my mind.
If I look down the road ahead, I'll lose my courage.
So I'll look up to Christ till my faith becomes sight. I'm looking up for the things that really matter.
I will not
look to the things that pass away.
My hope is fixed upon eternal treasures,
so I'll just keep on looking up each day.
My hope is fixed upon eternal treasures,
so I'll just keep on looking up each day. Looking up each day.
Thank you, men. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm delighted to have you with me. Some of you listening may not know that this program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry using radio, internet, print media, and more to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. We currently sponsor and produce programming in English and 16 other major languages. In fact, just this week, on July the 5th, our newest program begins in India in the Telugu language. There are about 74 million people who speak Telugu, and we're so grateful for our partnership with Transworld Radio and Hope Outreach Ministries that is making this possible. And all of this outreach is made possible through the partnership of people just like you. We have a small staff of 7 people, and by ourselves, there's not a whole lot we could do. But by working together with so many people, people just like you, we can share the gospel across multiple platforms and around the world. We're so thankful we can be a tool you can use to send the message of hope to places you'll never be able to go. So let's praise God together for the opportunity we have to send the light.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the light,
send the light.
There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save.
Send the light,
send the light,
send the light.
We will spread the everlasting light with a willing heart and hand,
giving God the glory evermore.
We
follow his command. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiant beams light the world forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light,
send the light,
send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light,
send the light,
send the light.
We will spread the everlasting light with a willing heart and hand.
Giving God send the light, the blessed gospel light.
Let it shine
from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiant beams light the world forevermore.
Forevermore.
Last week in our study from Daniel chapter 9 and verses 20 to 27, we were talking about the evidence for a gap of undetermined length between the 69th and the 70th week. We'll pick up our study with a few final comments on this point. Now, as we resume our study, I will read the text, Daniel 9, 20-27. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. One more thing. Because the gap between the 69th and 70th week is of an undetermined length, it eliminates all the date-setting schemes for the return of Christ. However, the prophecy does reveal two things specifically about this time period. First, unto the end there shall be war. Jesus confirmed that in Matthew 24 as wars and rumors of wars. And then second, desolations are determined. Think of all the desolation caused by wars from the first century AD up until the present. Millions upon millions have died from wars and their impact. Almost always, war affects a far greater number of people in the civilian population than the actual soldiers who fight the battles. And yet we can also see in history how God uses these wars to accomplish his ultimate plans for human history. He is in control, and let's not ever forget that. We now move to the final verses of our text that spell out some of the details of the 70th week. In verse 26, we note that two princes are mentioned. We have Messiah, and we have the prince that shall come. The people of this coming prince are the ones who will destroy Jerusalem after Messiah is cut off. We know that the Roman army under Titus in 70 AD destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And we also learned in Daniel 7 about this little horn who arises out of a revised Roman Empire at the end of the age and is given almost absolute power over the nations for a brief period of time. Now turning to verse 27, our first challenge is to identify the antecedent of the pronoun he. This person is the chief actor and the subject of this verse. So, who is he? Grammatically, it could be either one. Most logically, because the prince to come is mentioned after Messiah, it seems to be this coming prince. So let's look at some other factors that will help us make the determination. First, this he will make a firm covenant with the people of God for 1 week or 7 years. Now, there's no evidence in Scripture that God or Jesus ever made a covenant like this with the people of Israel, because the covenants God made with Israel were everlasting. Some interpreters hold that Messiah initiated this covenant, but they can't point to any Scripture to substantiate their interpretation. Others believe that Jesus initiated this covenant by his birth, and his death on the cross then ended the daily sacrifice. This is a simple one to refute because the Jewish daily sacrifices continued up until the time the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And there's no record of such a 7-year covenant in the Gospels. Further, to insist that Messiah is the initiator of this covenant puts the 70th week in the past, which we've already seen can't be the case. So I conclude that the one who makes the 7-year covenant is the prince who is to come. I also believe the 70th week is a 7-year period between the catching away of the church and the return of Christ in glory. During this time, this future prince will have almost absolute control over the nations of the world. And Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 24, verses 15 to 30. The Apostle Paul discusses it in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 9. Let me read just a few verses from that text. "And now you know that which restraineth, to the end that he may be revealed in his own season. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work, only there is one that restraineth now, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming." According to Paul's divine revelation, the removal of the restraining force from the world is an event that must happen prior to the revealing of the lawless one. What is or who is this restraining force? Can it be anything other than the true church of Jesus Christ? And if so, what is it? In addition, the revelation of this lawless one must happen very soon, even immediately after the church leaves the earth. And Paul talks about that leaving in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 at the end of the chapter. So it seems logical that the 70th week cannot begin until the church is taken out of the way. This coming prince will then be positively identified because he makes his covenant with Daniel's people, with the Jewish nation. And it also seems clear that this final week of years ends with the return of Christ in power and glory. Verse 24 mentions specific blessings which will come to Israel at the culmination of this final week. They will be brought by the Messiah, returning with power and great glory. And further, the awful power of this lawless one, this man of sin, this Antichrist, will endure until the end of the 7 years and he will be destroyed by the breath of Jesus' mouth and the glorious brightness of his coming. Praise God. The second coming of Messiah will end the 70th week. This 70th week provides the framework for the events recorded in Revelation chapters 6 to 19. There's a clearly stated time frame based on a single measure of time. It's expressed in different ways as follows: a time, times, and half a time. That's in Revelation 12:14. 42 months. Revelation 11:2 and 13:5. And 1,260 days. Revelation 11:3 and 12:6. In each and every case, these equal 3.5 years. During the first 3.5 years, Israel will be worshiping in their restored temple, and the two witnesses of Revelation 11:2 and 3 will be prophesying freely. When the Antichrist breaks his covenant with the Jewish people and ends the daily sacrifices, the two witnesses are slain, and the beast's power becomes absolute. This, I believe, will usher in the time of Jacob's trouble, a season of severe persecution on the Jewish race. Now, we know that the 70th week must end with the triumphant second coming of Christ. And we also know the 70th week begins with the revelation of the coming prince, the Antichrist. So if we read Revelation chapter 6 to 9 carefully, we can see a period of 7 prophetic years divided into 2 equal halves by the sounding of the seventh angel. That's in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Both Daniel and John were carried along by the same Holy Spirit who gave them divine inspiration. Daniel provided the framework, and John filled in the details. Now, some questions that arise out of Daniel's prophecy are, what is this firm covenant, and why does the prince who is coming break it after 3.5 years? The details of the covenant aren't spelled out in our text, but there are some clues. The breaking of the covenant ends the daily sacrifice, so part of the covenant must allow for the reestablishing of the temple worship. The site for the future temple is now controlled by the Muslim Jordanian Waqf, and the Jewish people have very limited access to the Temple Mount. In the current environment, any attempt to even talk about building a Jewish temple on that site would touch off massive violence. But when the proper time comes, this powerful leader, whoever he is, will be able to convince the nations of the world that this conundrum can be worked out. I remember hearing my mentor, Dr. J. Otis Yoder, say something like this: I used to think that the Antichrist would need to be a Jew, or the Jewish people wouldn't accept him. Now, I think it could be anyone, even a Muslim. If he gives them permission to rebuild their temple, they will embrace him as Messiah. Now, evidently, this covenant makes provision for the rebuilding of the temple, but then the covenant is broken after 3.5 years, and the daily sacrifice ends. Another question that arises is, why does the prince tear up this covenant with the Jewish people? Well, let me suggest 2 reasons. First, even today, nations of the world who enter into treaties don't trust the parties to the treaty. It was Ronald Reagan, in negotiating a strategic arms treaty with the former Soviet Union, who popularized the phrase, trust but verify. Historically, the vast majority of treaties that have been made have been broken by one or both of the signatories. The desire for power and the deceitfulness of the human heart are prime factors in that process. Then secondly, this man of sin is the Antichrist. He is against Christ and everything that Christ stands for. So can you imagine a man who hates Christ loving the Jewish people? That's impossible. This man will be violently anti-Semitic, and only because it is politically expedient will he enter into this covenant with them. Once he consolidates his power, he will break that covenant with impunity. and his alliance with the apostate church will follow the same pattern. There's an additional aspect to this covenant breaking. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 tells us that this man of sin will sit as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. To any observant Jew, this will be the height of blasphemy, and they will react violently. That will give the man of sin the pretext he needs to break the covenant and to force the end of the daily sacrifice. If you think the worship of a mere man seems impossible, you haven't been paying attention to what's happening in our world. In Daniel 7:25, he learns that the beast shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. This, as I said earlier, is the time of Jacob's trouble, as Jeremiah referred to it in Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Jesus reaffirmed the Old Testament prophets by his words in Matthew 24. When you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, then there will be great tribulation unlike any the world has ever seen. Anti-Semitism is rising around the world today. The Jewish people and their continued existence and flourishing are a constant reminder to Satan of his failure to disrupt God's plan through the millennium. It's no wonder that Satan's followers should demonstrate such hatred for God's ancient, chosen, earthly people. And when that storm of persecution breaks, it will be so severe that Jesus said, "Except those days shall be shortened, no flesh should be saved." God, in his mercy, will limit this persecution to 1,260 days. And as the end of this final week mercifully comes, the promises outlined by Gabriel to Daniel in verse 24 will come to their full and final fulfillment. Let's review them. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Today, Christian pilgrims from all over the world visit Israel for an opportunity to walk on the same ground where Jesus walked. How much greater will be our joy to go there when the King himself is physically present in power and authority. You know, there are many additional things in this portion of Scripture that we haven't taken time to explore or develop. But I hope that what has been shared will increase your confidence in God, in His Word, and in His promises. Unlike some professing Christians who teach that God is not sovereign, that is, He can't possibly know all things, I confidently proclaim my belief that the God who brought this world into being by the power of His Word will surely bring it to His preordained conclusion in His perfect timing. What joy is ours to be given the skill to understand. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Great ruler of the earth and skies, the word of thine almighty breath can sing the world or bid it rise, thy smile. When angry nations rise.
To thee we pay our thankful songs, thy kind protection still implore. Oh, may our hearts and lives and tongues confess thy goodness and adore. Amen.
My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, you can also request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, The Skill to Understand. You can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org, or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Braeswood, Pennsylvania, 15533. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Braeswood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, Heralds of Hope, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also find a link there to sign up for our weekly blog post. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. We depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I'll look for you next week here on The Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,
let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God and in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for thee. The Lord is coming, are you ready? The Lord is coming, are you ready? Would your heart